Here is Ostrafres. It's unbelievably poetic what the Piazzetta writes here. It's not an easy piece to translate. And I was thinking how I've never achieved what he's describing. And if I was a betting man, I would bet that none of us have ever achieved it. But he concludes the piece by telling us, Afal Piche, and keep trying. If a person wants lahavchin, like a bechina, to take a test. If a person wants to test his ri'ya and his yira, he wants to assess and take a test on his vision, not his physical vision, but his spiritual vision, and he wants to test and assess his yira. He wants to know, does he really stand in awe of Hashem? Does he really perceive, does he see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his life? Bisham and Ashaus, from time to time, meaning, if you ever want, if you ever get in the mood to say, how am I doing? You know, am I doing a good job? I always say one of the hardest things about being a Yid is that you don't get a report card. You don't get to take a Bechina along the way. You only take one big Bechina at the end of your life. So it's very frightening along the way to know, you know, am I doing a good job? Am I doing a terrible job? Am I on the path? Am I way off the path? Am I becoming myself? Am I pretending to be someone I'm not? So how do you know? How do you know how you're doing? It reminds me of Kedushas Levi at the end of Parshas Mishpatim. The Berditchever, and I want to share this daf because it's also Sfiras HaOmer. One of the good things about Sfiras HaOmer is that there's an element of, on the one hand, I'm working on, like we spoke about in Shir on Thursday, on the one hand, I'm working on kind of this big picture mitzvah called Sfiras HaOmer. And at the same time, I am recognizing checkpoints along the way. There is a sense of ischachus every night when I count 11, 12, 13, 14. I'm counting up towards Kabbalah Satorah. So how do you know if you're doing well in Avodas Hashem? So there's a Kedushas Levi at the end of Parshas Mishpatim on the pasuk Umari Kvod Hashem Ke'esh Ocheles, that the appearance of Hashem, the vision of Hashem, was Ke'esh Ocheles, like a consuming fire. Again, we know that Kabbalah Satorah, that what happened at Har Sinai is described in both Yisro and Mishpatim, Umare Kvod Hashem Ke'esh Ocheles, that the vision, the appearance of Hashem, was Ke'esh Ocheles. Says the Berditchever, the Kedushas Levi, when a person serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Torah, mitzvot, you give tremendous pleasure to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ukesha Adam wrote, Leida, Im Hashem Yisbarach, Yisho Tanug Me'avodaso. So we know there's the potential for a person to give HaKadosh Baruch Hu tremendous delight in the Olam HaEmes. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu can enjoy above the gifts that you've given him in Torah and Mitzvot. But how do you know if my particular gift is well received? Everyone's trying to bring gifts to Hashem. Everyone wants to make Hashem happy, kiviyach. So, can I do that? Can I achieve that? Habachina hu alzeh, the test is the following. This is a very good piece to know about, because all along life you wonder, like, am I doing a good job or am I not doing a good job? I have no idea. So if you look in the Shemi Shmuel in Parshas Bereishis, he says a similar thing. But I'm sharing it with you from the Kedushas Levi and Parshas Mishpatim. Habachinu alzeh im adam roeh shelibo boer ke'ish u'mislahev tamid la'avod oso. If you're excited about being a Yid, if you're on fire for your avodas Hashem. Now, on fire doesn't mean that you have to express that externally. The fire can be completely contained within yourself. The Kotzker was a raging fire inside of himself. The Kedushas Levi was a raging fire that was consuming the world, that was bouncing around the room, literally. So your fire doesn't have to be, you don't have to be someone who's very loud and who's energetic, right? All of that fire can be contained within a person. All that fire can be an internal fire. So don't think, well, I'm not the type to like be externally, you know, display. I'm not David HaMelech. Right, in the Haftorah, dancing wildly in front of the Aron. I don't think Michal Bas Shaul was saying to her husband, you shouldn't be so into God. I think she was saying, as a melech, your fire is supposed to be more contained, and you're allowing it to spill out in the public eye, and you're disgracing yourself. And David HaMelech, of course, responded, like the Piazzetta with his somersault, that I, you know, Halavai should do wild things, even externally for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But says the Kedushas Levi, If you want to know how you're doing in Avodas Hashem, are you burning up for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? V'yishal cheshek v'ratzon ba'avodas habore. Do you have a strong desire? Is it a push for you to get to davening? Or is it a desire to get to davening? Is it a push for you to get to learn? Or is it a desire? Are you excited about it? Do you see it as an opportunity? Now, if you push yourself to do it, he doesn't say that that's not an achas ruach before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you give Hashem your gift like this, and your facial expression, your body language, like, here you go, I brought you a present. So Hashem says, wow, thanks for coming to my party. You know, it's so great to have you here at davening this morning. So a present might still be a good present. The words of Shmon Esther are still Kodesh Kadashim, even if you're just, you know, mumbling them under your breath, without any realization of what you're even saying. But he says, for sure, if you're on fire, if you have a cheshek and a ratzon, if your ke'eshum is alive, tamid, oz bevadai, then for sure HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be excited about your gift. If you come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem Tzilcha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is your shadow. The way we learned in the Or HaChaim HaKadosh on Thursday also. And the Or HaChaim HaKadosh told us that Moshe Rabbeinu said to Klai, so, oh, Zeh Adavar, look, you did it. You made yourself a kli, Muchan for Ashras Ashchina, Vayera Aleichem Kvod Hashem. Remember Pasuk Vav? From the beginning of this past week's Parsha. You made yourself ready for Hashem, and Hashem gave you Ashras Ashchina. So how do I know if Hashem likes me? How do I know if Hashem's excited about me? So says the Kedush Levi, it's very simple. Very simple. Are you excited about Hashem? If you have a cheshek and a ratzon b'avodas habore, oz bevadai muchach she'Hashem yisbarach yesh lo tanug me'avodaso, then for sure Hashem is going to be excited about you. V'lakach misayin lo min ha'shamayim, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to assist you, because you're showing that you care, you want to be involved. So Hashem says, I'll make it easier for you to be involved. V'shochin lo machshavos kadoshos l'toch liwon, Hashem will continue to send holy thoughts into your heart. So he says, that's the pshat in the pasuk at the end of Mishpatim. How do you know if you're bringing Kvod Shemayim? How do you know if a Kodesh Baruch is going to appear to you like we just saw this past Shabbos? Vayera Aleichem Kvod Hashem. How do you make yourself Roy Lashras Hashchina? Says the Pasuk, Ke'esh Ocheles. If you're Ke'esh Ocheles. Shasimen Kishayirtz Adam Leida Imroa Kvod Hashem, a Kodesh Baruch Hu Nana Mimenu. The lezek ke'esh al chalas, im libo boer ke'esh. If your heart is on fire for Kadosh Baruch Hu, if you are ke'esh al chalas, then umari kvod Hashem. Then for sure, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to be happy with you, and the connection between you and Kadosh Baruch Hu will continue to grow. There's one other piece that reminds me of also in Kedushas Levi and Parshas Pinchas at the end of Pinchas, where when we bring karbanos, which again is very much what we're learning now in Chumash Vayikra, and we're trying to relate to it, and it's hard sometimes, but in Parshas Pinchas, where we also have many karbanos, it says, V'kraftem isha ola l'Hashem. So the Berdichever says a similar thing. Imakrava shalanu hu isha, if the offering that we give is isha, it's eish, it's fire, right? Lashon eish hislavus, V'kraftem isha ola l'Hashem. If your offering is Isha, if it's Eish, then what? Then Laham Lechaso Beyir of Eish Gadol, if you offer with great intensity, Oz Ola Lashem. So the pasuk says, V'yikraftem Isha, if your offering is fire, then Ola Lashem, then it goes up to HaKadosh Baruch. So this is one guaranteed way to make sure that a person is what? That a person is passing the Bechina, so to speak. If you feel like your life is heavy, and your Avodas Hashem is always burdensome, then you should be choshesh, according to the Kedushas Levi, that Hashem is not yet thrilled with you. There's more work to be done. And if you feel that I've come to appreciate my Yiddishkeit to the point that it's a privilege, and I wake up in the morning excited to be a Jew, not with merely a sense of responsibility to be a Jew, or not even with a sense of, God forbid, a burden of being a Jew, but if I'm excited about being a Jew, then for sure Hashem is excited about you. If you're into it, Hashem's into it. Hashem tzilcha. Hashem is your shadow. That's the part the Berdichever brings in Parshas Noach. That God's like your shadow. David Melech says, Hashem tzilcha. Hashem's like your shadow. I mean, you set the tone. You decide what the relationship is going to be. Okay. So that's one bechina that a person could take. And again, the P.S.S. reminded me of it. But he says, I want to give you maybe a similar. You'll see, and you'll tell me if you think it's related. He says, I'll give you a different way to test yourself. A different way to test yourself to know if the following. We haven't seen what the if is. Let's see the if. Back in Tzav Izyus. If a person wants to test himself, to test his spiritual vision, and to test his awe of God, Imrak b'sichlecha hisponanta, maybe I feel that I've climbed through different worlds because I've learned about it. I've meditated upon it. I've read books about it. I've studied svarim on it. I've heard shiurim about it. So maybe in my mind, theoretically, I've gotten closer to Hashem. I can picture certain things which gives me a perception of being close to Hashem. Let me tell you one sentence what he's going to say. How do I figure out if my relationship with Hashem is nothing other than a theoretical perception of a relationship, or it's really a relationship? How do I know if I've really seen Hashem, or I've learned, in theory, how one could come to see Hashem? They're both very good. To have a mahalach and how I could come to see Hashem is a very good thing. To do it is another thing. There's a famous story, not for now, but there's a mice with the Belzer Rebbe, how he wanted to achieve Giloy Eliyahu. And he was told, if you do shavuos, 1,000 nights in a row, you stay up all night, 1,000 nights in a row, then you'll be zochet to Giloy Eliyahu Mamish, and Eliyahu Navi will actually come to you. And he did it. And Eliyahu Navi came to him. Okay, there's all mice. So it's one thing to know in theory, oh, now I know the trick. If I stay up 1,000 nights in a row, I can have Giloy Eliyahu. It's one thing to know in theory that you could do something, and it's another thing to do. It's the mice that I mentioned once in the past, the very delicate maisa about the three gedolim who were sitting together and having a heated discussion about a matter of very great significance to the Jewish community. And the third gadol, I can't remember, I always seem to forget who the third gadol is, although I'll check my notes and let you know who it was. Lean out there. The other two gedolim were Rav Aaron Kotler and Rav Avram Kalmanovich from Mir. And there was a big machlokus about how to handle a particular issue. So Rav Aaron held one way, and Rav Kalmanovich held a different way. Maybe Rav Grozovsky was the third one. So Rav Kalmanovich got very upset at Rav Aaron Kotler, and he said to Rav Aaron, you know, if I would have learned as much as you, if I would have had as many opportunities as you to learn, I would have been a bigger gadol than you. So he said, you have to be mevatel your opinion to me. Because I can tell you, I know that had I had as many opportunities to sit and learn, to bill as many hours as you, so to speak, in the base medrash, I know I could say bevados, I would be a bigger gadol than you. So the third Rav said back to Rav Kalmanovich, yeah, but the bottom line is that Rav Aaron did learn. Now Rav Kalmanovich was very active in saving lives during the war. Rav Kalmanovich wasn't, you know, on the basketball court, and that's why he didn't become Rav Aaron Kotler. He was doing very important things which prevented him from being as much in the base medrash. But the third Rav said, but the bottom line is Rav Aaron learned more Torah. So it's nice that in theory you could know more Torah than Rav Aaron, but l'maaseh Rav Aaron knows more Torah than you. So there's the theory and then there's reality, right? So we all know theoretically we could be unbelievably great Jews. And we also know, on some level, in practice, we are, because that's just the metzias of a Jew. Every Jew is great. But then there's achieving it. There's knowing I can stay up 1,000 nights in a row to have Gilui Eliyahu, and then there's staying up 1,000 nights in a row and actually pushing oneself to do that. So the Piazetzer, in one sentence, again, wants us to figure out, what is a bechina that we can take? What's the test to figure out, is my relationship with Hashem theoretical, or is it actual? Have I ever really seen Hashem? Bearing in mind, lo yirenei adam v'chai, it's impossible to see Hashem. But have I seen Hashem? Have I fully sensed that I'm before Hashem? I'll give you a simple example. I was driving Thursday night. I was running a couple minutes late. I was on my way to teach at Heichal HaTorah, where I teach on Thursday nights. And all of a sudden, as I'm heading down Windsor Road, heading down towards Teaneck Road, all of a sudden, there's a fire station on the left-hand side where there's always like cop cars parked. But no one's ever in those cars. Happens to be, a cop got smart and decided, I'm going to put my actual cop car and try to give people tickets in that lot. So I drove by. I wasn't going so fast, but, you know, it's like one of these regular streets where, for some reason, it's 25 miles an hour, right? No one drives 25 miles an hour, so it's probably going 35 miles an hour. Okay, that's how everyone drives on 25 mile an hour street. Anyways, so I drive by and I see the cop car is, I see there's like a real cop car this time. Okay, and then you know, you're looking in the rear view to see if the cop car's behind you, and there's a couple cars behind me, he's not there, and then all of a sudden, I see the cop car in the distance. Alright, so now I'm slowing down to like 28 miles an hour, you know? And then the two cars behind me like turn off, and now it's just the cop car behind me, and I'm at a red light. And you feel when there's a cop car behind you, when you think that maybe any second now those lights are going to start, they're going to start spinning. So I made a left at the light, and the cop car made a left at the light, and we're sitting now by the next light. So I figured by now, if you're going to turn your lights on, you know, maybe he's running my plates, maybe he's checking me out, right? Trying to figure out, you know, is this a stolen car? I don't know what he was thinking. Yeah, and I'm sitting there, and I'm schwitzing, you know, shtickle. I'm really not in the mood for a court case or many hundred dollar ticket. And it was like an annoying ticket also, if it was a ticket, because it was like 35 and a 25, seriously. You know, that's like a cop just sitting there just to get you in trouble, not to like protect people's lives. But you really, you know, you feel the cop car. I'm using the technique. There's a technique in the Ber Mayim Chaim in Parshas Vayigash that if you're ever in trouble with the cops, you should say, Ashiva Shoftenu Kavrishona. So I'm using that technique to try to get the cop off my tail. And finally the light turns green. I go straight, the cop makes a right, and Baruch Hashem, we're in the clear. But you feel it, right? You feel the presence of the cop. And whenever I'm in this situation, I always say to myself, why do I not feel this when I'm davening Shmoneh Esrei? That much Yishuv HaDas I have. You know, the shiur that I put on when I got in the car, like I haven't heard the last 5 minutes because I'm just nervous about the cop behind me. I'm totally spaced out. But enough presence of mind I have to say to myself, why am I so scared of a silly ticket and I don't have a drop of this when it comes to really Yiras Shemayim? Not even a drop. So there's real and then there's theoretical. Right? And I know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinitely more real, my responsibilities to him are infinitely greater, and the good things I do are worth much more than the couple $100 that I'm scared to lose, and the penalties for getting busted by the cop in Shemayim is much worse. So why do I feel the cop in my bones and I don't feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu in my bones? So that's what the P.S. Esther wants us to figure out. How do we assess how we're doing? So he says, maybe Imrak, second line, Besich Lecha Yisbonanta, maybe you've just been thinking about Hashem and thinking about Hishtal Shalos, thinking about the different worlds. Maybe you're meditating on the ideas, maybe reading the Svarim that talk about these things. V'rak b'dimyoncha derech ha'alulim va'ilos ha'dargin ha'prasos v'chulo elav yisbarach asher l'mal meham. Maybe you've been climbing, so to speak, the ladder of in machshava of all of these ideas of alulim ve'ilos, of cause and effect, of the various dargin, right, of the hishtalshalus, of the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, from the olam of atzilus to bria to yitzira to asiya, whether you know these words, you don't know these words, thinking about Hashem, whatever it is, however you've climbed various ranks in your avodasim, whatever you think you've achieved in terms of becoming more aware of Hashem, how do I know if it's still just theoretically being aware of Hashem, or I'm mamish opening myself up to be omid lefnei Hashem, which is what we learned about on Thursday from the Rachayim HaKadosh, that Moshe says to Klal Yisrael, that what? That you're standing before Hashem. It doesn't say that they were standing in front of the Ohel Moed. That's Pasuk Hey. We already know that they're standing. They brought the Korbanos before the Ohel Moed. But now it's telling us more than that. It's telling us, Vayikrivu kol ha'eda vayam du lifnei Hashem. They're standing before God. So how do I know if I'm be'emes, shivisi Hashem l'negdi tamid, omid lifnei Hashem, or if I'm still standing at a great distance, but at least I'm thinking about Hashem. And again, they're both chashiv. Don't get me wrong. The P.S. Esther concludes the piece by saying they're both very chashiv. He says, how do I know if, again, I'm just thinking about, if I'm, in my mind, I'm meditating on the fact that Hashem is Ram v'nivdal mehem, thinking about how Hashem is above all of those things, and how there are worlds on top of worlds on top of worlds. Histakalta v'nifchadita. Maybe I have glanced at the possibility of that, of being Omid Lefnei Hashem, and maybe that's why I feel something, but maybe I'm not really Omid Lefnei Hashem, right? Maybe I'm using a cop car to be Omid Lefnei Hashem, but I'm not really Omid Lefnei Hashem. Oh, in be'emes nisgala nishmas halacha b'shazu, or, and here's part two, again, that was all part one of the equation, so maybe it's all that I'm thinking about it, that I'm meditating upon it, that I'm learning about it, which is good. Or maybe be'emes nisgala nishmas halacha b'shazu, Or maybe I've truly unlocked my soul, and I've tapped into the Chelek Elokam Imal, I've tapped into the piece of Hashem inside of me. And then I'm Mabesh Omed B'fnei Hashem. Then I'm really connecting to Hashem. Maybe by way of my own neshama, which is a kiviyachol, a piece of Hashem. Ve'ima yachad be'emes hitzatzta derech kol ha'ishtal shalos merchak. Turn the page. In cheker la'aram v'nivdol asher l'mal mehem michutz alehem. Then maybe be'emes hitzatzta, I've caught a glimpse. To catch a glimpse that I've seen by way of the ishtal shalos of what? Again, not the ishtal shalos I read in the Sefer that there's a world called Atzilus Bria Yitzira Nasiya. That maybe I looked into my own soul and I started actually climbing those levels within myself. Be'emes, I'm starting to climb those levels. Right? That I'm starting to perceive from a distance that which is Ram and Nivdal, Asher L'mal Mehem Mechutz Alehem. Maybe I'm truly becoming transcendent. Maybe my soul has actually lifted itself out of my body. Right? Maybe I'm connecting. Maybe I'm really looking at Kadosh Baruch Hu in the eye. However, every time we say Kedusha, when we say Kadosh, 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 and I think that Rav David taught this to me for the first time, so I thank him. The Rabbim, you'll tell him. I tell Rav David I taught his Sefer Echalos in the Mishnah Berurah. I know what you're talking about. In Siman Kuf Chaf Hei, in Dine Kedusha, in the laws of Kedusha, the Ramah says that after the Shulchan Aruch says you should put your feet together for Kedusha, you stay with your feet together like Shmoneh Esrei, says the Ramah, V'yesh Lisa Ha'einayim L'marom B'shash Sh'omrim Kedusha. You should lift your eyes to the heaven when you say Kedusha. You should look up at a Kadosh Baruch when you say Kedusha. Yeah? Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. It's not only, you know, for big rabbis. A regular Jew looks up when he says Kedusha. Yeah? And he lifts up his body when he says Kedusha. What's he looking for? What's he trying to see? Is he making eye contact with anyone? Is he supposed to see something? Listen to what the Mishnah Berurah quotes. Ki kosvu b'shem sefer hechalos. Zelashono. Bruchim atem la'ashem shamayim v'yardei merkava. Im tomru v'tagidu levanai mashani osa b'shosh shemakadishim. V'omrim kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. Let the Jewish people know. Hinnim nimuchan mazum l'kayim. What's said here in sefer hechalos. You should let people know this. So I'm letting you know. You should let people know. Hashem says, I want you to let people know. If you know, you should let people know what Hashem does at the moment Jews say, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. V'lamdu osam, shu'einayem nisuos l'marom l'beis tfilasam, v'nosim atzmam l'malu. You should look up, and you should lift yourself up. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Ki ein li hana ba'olam. Hashem says, there is no greater pleasure that I get when we lock eyes, when their eyes are placed upon my eyes. Hashem's looking down at you and you're looking up at Him. Am I supposed to see something? Am I physically supposed to see something? Can I at least feel something? I didn't lock eyes with the cop. I don't even know if there was a person driving that car. Maybe there was a robot driving that car, right? And I only saw it in my mirror. I didn't even turn around to see it. So how do I know it was really there? But I know it was there. I saw it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, when you say Kedusha and you look up at me, guess what? Our eyes lock. She'einayim nesuos be'einai, ve'einai be'einai. My eyes are upon them, and their eyes are upon me. Bo'os Hashah, ani ochez be'kisei kvodi. Hashem grabs onto His throne, and I grab onto the Demus Yaakov. It's Kuf Chaf Hei. It's Simen Kuf Chaf Hei, Sif Katan Hei, in Mishnah Berurah. Simen Kuf Chaf Hei, Hilchos Tefillin, Shulchan Aruch, Sif Katan Hei, for those who want to look at it inside. And I'm happy that you do. It's kedai to see the Lashon inside. Ba'os Hashah, ani ochez b'kisei kvodi b'dmus Yaakov. Listen to this Lashon. Hashem says, I grab onto my throne, I grab onto the picture of Yaakov Avinu, which is one of the four images on the divine throne. U'mechabko u'menashka. And I hug it and I kiss it. U'mazkir z'chusam. And I remember the merit of Klal Yisrael. U'memaher g'ulasam. And I hasten the redemption. To lock eyes with the Kadosh Baruch. But you gotta believe that Hashem is looking back at you. You have to believe that there's something to see. That my heart should flutter a little bit when I lock eyes with Hashem, the same way I lock eyes, right, with my girlfriend. Yeah? And I'm not saying that to be, you know, prust. The whole mashal of Shir HaShirim, which the Rambam describes in Hilchos Tshuva in the 10th parak. Why did the Kodesh Baruch Hu give us Shir HaShirim? Why does Rabbi Akiva tell us it's Kodesh Kodashim? It's the Holy of Holies. Says the Rambam, Hilchos Tshuva Perek Yod Halacha Gimel, V'keitzed hi ha'av ha'ru'ya. What is true love? What does it mean to love Hashem? Did you ever have real feelings for Hashem? Ask you that. That's what the Piyazah started asking us. Did you ever have real feelings of love for Hashem? What is Ava Haruya? Hushayavas Hashem Ava Gedola Yaseira Ozamaod Achate Nafsho Kshura Ba'avas Hashem. To be madly in love with Hashem. To be Shogeba Tamid. Right? To be obsessed with it. With the thought of being in love with Hashem. Kiluchola choli ha'ava she'ein daito pnuya ma'avas osa'isha. Like a person who's lovesick and can't stop thinking about his wife. A person who's madly in love with a woman. Vushoga batamid bein b'shifto, bein b'kumo, bein b'shashuocha v'shose. He thinks about it when he's sitting, when he's standing, when he's eating, when he's walking, when he's at work. He can't get this woman out of his mind. He's madly in love with her. Vahusha Shlomo Amar Derech Mashal Kicholas Ava Ani. And that's what it means when it says in Shir HaShirim to be lovesick. If you've never had that type of feeling for a woman, so it's hard for you to understand what it means to have that feeling for Hashem. But if you have had that feeling for another human being, so then the question becomes, why have I not had that feeling? Why have I never been sick? Why have I never been lovesick for Hashem? And like we just read on Chol Hamoed Pesach, all of Shir HaShirim is a training ground for this. When you read this intimate story of these two lovers, and you wonder, what does this have to do with me? It has to do with the fact that if you've ever felt that way for a girl, so why can't you feel that way for God? The emes. That's what the P.S.S. are saying. Why haven't you locked eyes with God during Kedusha? Why hasn't your heart fluttered for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He says, if you have, let's go back now, says the Tzav HaZiruz, maybe, again, side two of the equation, maybe you've unlocked your neshama, maybe you have actually gone inside, so to speak, and maybe you've perceived things that are beyond this world. Second line on top of page Shin Mem Vav. V'chi'i efshar l'roso ra'isa. That which is impossible to see, maybe you've seen. Maybe you've really seen. Now, seen doesn't mean physical. Obviously, right? The way that a tzaddik looks up during Kedusha, the way that we look up during Kedusha, the tzaddik sees Hashem. What does it mean he sees Hashem? He sees Hashem. Hashem's not physical. What does he see that, right? He sees the same ceiling that I see, no? But like the Baal HaTanya said to the Tzemach Tzaddik on his deathbed, when he looked up and he said, what do you see? He said, I see a wooden beam. He said, that's nice, because I don't see a wooden beam anymore. I see the letters of the Torah that make up that wooden beam, that give it reality. So they're seeing and they're seeing. They're seeing and they're really seeing. We've said from Sfas Emes many times, don't stray after your eyes means don't be fooled by your physical perception. Learn to see beyond. At least to know what it says here in the Mishnah Berurah is a good starting point. To know that I should be seeing something, that desire to see something will help you to eventually maybe see something. So maybe, says the Piyaz Esner, maybe you've seen that which can't be seen. Maybe that which can't be perceived, you have perceived. Because Hashem's light is completely concealed. But you know if you've really seen it or not. Meir umavik esayinayim, nora umishavatz. It causes a person to tremble. Mishavatz means like the throes of death. If you look in the footnote, he says, Milashon ki achazani hashavat b'shal amelech. The beginning of Shmuel Beis, when it's recounting how Shaul died, right? It says that Shaul felt that his life was surrounded, his time was up, right? Whether he committed suicide or someone killed him, again, there's a big discussion over there. But at the beginning of Shmuel Beis, in Parak Aleph, when it's being recounted, Shaul HaMelech says he's basically giving up on his life because he says, Ki achazani hashavatz, because I've been seized by throes of death. So have I ever trembled before Hashem the way I've trembled before my principal in fourth grade when I got kicked out of class? And if I haven't, is that pathetic? Or is that just, you know, it's hard to tremble before Hashem. It's not so posh. So here's the bechina. Test yourself. It's a very simple test. It's a very simple test. Have you ever been as afraid of God as you are from the cop car behind you? That's the whole bechina. Have you ever truly been afraid of Hashem? Have you ever truly been in love with Hashem the way you thought that your life couldn't go on when that girl broke up with you? If you haven't, then you got some work to do. You're not a bad Jew, but you've got some work to do. Bizos tavchin, here's the test. In the emtzei is bo nencha. Targish ki ilu ata nikra karega min amidoso listachel al nikbata. If in a moment of his bonus, in a moment where I'm trying to see Hashem, where I'm trying to meditate on Hashem, where I'm trying to connect to Hashem, all of a sudden, what? Kiyu ata nikra karega min amidasa. Did you ever feel like you got ripped out of your place, like your neshama jumped out of your body? Ulistakel el al nigbata, to have what? A truly transcendent view? And don't tell me it's not possible, because it's a halach in Shulchan Aruch that every time you daven, you can achieve this. So it's not that it's impossible. It's not impossible to have a transcendent experience. Did you ever feel so batel to Hashem? You were so paralyzed by the awe and presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in your life that you were afraid to be afraid. You were so frozen in place, you couldn't even be afraid. You were afraid, you felt unworthy to fear Hashem. Okay. It's a very lofty level, obviously. You were afraid to love Hashem. Because Hashem suddenly became so real to you that everything I thought was Yiras Hashem and everything I thought was Avas Hashem became a complete joke in that moment. To be covered in sweat. Melting. Timas means to melt. Melting. As you stand there, drenched. Right? In the sudden awareness that you're standing before Hashem. It's not like, you know, I'm fully aware of the guy who's giving me an interview. You know, and I'm like a little bit anxious, but I'm still able to, like, you know, sound really intelligent and get the job. I'm standing before a melech and I literally have no words. I don't know how to speak. I'm frozen in place. I'm embarrassed to daven before such a great God. Hanivdo la'atzmo, Nikol hagadluyos ha'oros v'akadoshos. Higher than any aura, any kedusha that I've ever perceived. Now I'm standing face to face with the real thing. Lefnei ha'shochein sham, I'm before the Rabbona Sholom. Shitzatzta shubilti tirayu, v'takireyu shubilti takireyu. That I caught a glimpse of the one who can't be seen. That I perceived, and I've become aware and I've recognized the one who can't be recognized. Meaning, keeping in mind that I can't physically see Hashem, but I see Hashem. That I lift my eyes up one day during Shemona Esrei and suddenly He's there. And He's looking back at me. And that's very real. And I feel that. V'rak b'chozek l'ispalel b'shivron ruach b'busha v'anavatis amitz. And I push myself with embarrassment and with great struggle and with great humility to daven simply because I have to daven. But I feel like I can't even talk. It's Hashem's will that I daven, so I have to fulfill my obligation. The king says, speak, my child, what do you want to say? But I feel like I have no words. I feel so infinitesimally small before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem becomes so big in that moment. And however, I'm telling you, this is what every Shemona Esrei in theory can be and should be. There's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. Simen Tzadi Ches, halacha hay. Shulchan Aruch, Simen Tzadi Ches, halacha hay. Al Yachshov, don't think Roy Hu Shiyasa Kodesh Baruch Hu Bakash Chasi, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu should answer me during tefillah. We think, we show for davening, we say, like, Hashem, you know, I've been really good to you the last week. I came to davening every day. He says, oh, you've been so good to me that you came to davening. So that's very low for us to think like that. Oh, so maybe we go a little further. We say, no, I know, Hashem, you know, I'm not doing you a favor by coming to davening, but the bottom line is I came to davening and I asked for things and I should get them. Right? We get frustrated when davening, when our tefillahs aren't answered. Says the Shulchan Aruch, guess what? The starting point is, the assumption of every davening should be, nothing's going to get answered. You know why? Because who are you?
Al yachshuv roi hu shiyasa kodesh baruch hu bakashasi. I'm not reading Mesillas Yesharim, I'm reading the Shulchan Aruch. A person shouldn't show up for davening and say, oh, Hashem, you know, the expectation is that you're going to do what I asked you to do. Kevin shekivanti betilasi, especially since I had kavana. Ki adrabba, ze mazikir avonosav shal adam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you show up, and you start saying, Hashem, I need refuah. I need wisdom. I need parnasa. I need a shidduch. So Hashem says, great, let me see, let me take out your ledger and see how you're doing. You know, let's see if you're in the black or in the red. Yeah, let's see where the account is holding. And Hashem says, wow, you know, you're asking for a lot of things, but I see here that you have quite a few debts. I lent you quite a few times and you never paid back. So in fact, every time we daven, we're getting ourselves in trouble, he says here. Hashem checks you out. Hashem says, oh, this guy apparently is very confident that he deserves this. Let's see how he's doing. You know? Let's see what happened yesterday. You should say to yourself, Hashem, you're doing me a favor by allowing me to stand before you. I can't speak. I feel unworthy. Who am I to come and to ask for a Kadosh Baruch Hu for anything? Who am I? By what rights do I stand here? And the Shulchan Aruch says a person should picture himself as being very small, as being very unworthy of standing for a Kadosh Baruch Hu. To take a moment before you daven Shemona Esrei to meditate on how small you are and how big a Kadosh Baruch Hu is. To think about, I am so small and Hashem is so big. Not pashut. So again, let's come back. Says the Piyaz Etzer, a person now is pushing himself to daven because he's truly lifnei Hashem and he feels very unworthy. With the humility, he forces himself to daven because he has to. Because that's a halacha, you have to daven. And he's a God-fearing Jew. So if you've perceived this, if you've achieved this, if you've made it to this level, where again, nikra karega min amidasa, when you feel that you've been ripped out of your place, your neshama jumped out for a second, the same way your heart jumped and skipped a beat out of a feeling of love or awe for a basar v'dam, im kain, says the Piyaz Esther, three lines from the end, avar alecha, im kain avar alecha, if this has overcome you, if you've achieved this, teida shemigvul levushecha v'halah, im nishmascha hibat. Then you can know, you should be aware, that in fact you have transcended your levush, meaning your body, and you've gone halah, beyond, im nishmascha, by way of your soul. I'm translating im nishmascha, by way of your soul, and hibatata, you've perceived something, you've glanced. You've caught a true glimpse of a Kadosh Baruch. Not that you knew how, in theory, to look at Hashem, but you've really seen Hashem. You're omid lifnei Hashem, and Hashem is looking back at you. V'im lav, but if you haven't had this degree of literally being soaked with sweat because you're so afraid to stand before Hashem, you're scared to be afraid, and you're ashamed to be in love, and you can barely open your mouth. If you haven't achieved that, which again I think it's safe to say we've probably not achieved that, and if we have maybe once in our lifetime for a couple of seconds, you know, at the heights of Yom Kippur or something, where I really felt I was transcendent for a moment, rak besoch levushecha, then you're still within your levush, v'afshe rak machshavtecha izbonanta, you've still only achieved it in your mind, in a theoretical way, aval gam mizeh al tisrachik. But even if you only saw these things with your mind's eye, don't stop. Don't give up. V'gam hi tova, and that's also good. Even if you haven't had this full revelation of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, a truly transcendent experience, you haven't transcended yourself. Your neshama has never been able to free itself from the chains of the guf. But you've still been able to have some kesher to a Kadosh Baruch Hu from even within the guf. That's also good. And it's also something. And I don't think this is so far and distant from, again, what we started with from the Kedushas Levi, where a person is an Eish Ol Chalas, where a person is on fire for Hashem. Right? When a person truly feels Mare Kvod Hashem Kei Shochelis, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is appearing to you because there's nothing you want more. You feel Hashem in every bit of your being. You feel so deeply connected. Right? It's a very lofty Madriga. Chaver, what do you say? And now I'm at a crossroad because I'm not sure what to do. We could do one of two things. We could stop. Or we could learn one little piece from the present Slonim Rebbe, which is a continuation of this theme. But I know it's been pretty heavy, so. And it's 10:05. Do we want to do another 15 minutes or do we want to stop?
Like Slonim, sheets are printed out.
The sheets are printed, yes, I'm holding it in my hand.
Waste the paper.
Do we have the strength to go right there, or this is like Arkan, we have enough to process for one day?
It's over.
Let's keep going. It's only been 40 minutes so far. Let's push to 55 minutes. Well, we pass around the sheet, I'll just... It was a Maisa. I can't remember which Tzaddik was. I have it in my notes, but I was rushing. I didn't get a chance to check. What? A Maisa about what? You know, I can't hear as it is.
You gotta move your arm.
Attention spans.
Attention spans? Yeah, the Maisa of attention spans, that a fish has a longer attention span than a human being, based on scientific studies. So, good luck holding cup after 8 seconds. A fish has a broader attention span than a human being, according to scientific studies. There's a maisa with one of the tzaddikim. I think it maybe was Kazer Zermagid by the Seder. You know, in the Haggadah, we say when we're going through the pasuk describing Kadosh Baruch Hu's revelation to Klal Yisrael, it says Uvemora Gadol with great awe. Number 25. Zo Gilei Shechina. Uvemora Gadol Ze Gilei Shechina. Yeah, are you with me? We can stop if you want to stop.
There
were 25 sheets. Uvamor Gadol Zegi Leishchinai. It says Uvamor Gadol. The pasuk says Hakadosh Baruch Hu revealed Himself by the Yam. Uvamor Gadol. So the Haggadah darshins, this refers to Gilei Shechina. That there was Gilei Shechina by the Yam. Zek Keli Va'anveyu. Were you ever able to point to Hashem? Like the Jews by Kriyas Yamsuf, did you ever lock eyes with Hashem? Like every single day we're supposed to in Kedusha? So there's a Ma'isa with a Tzaddik, I think it was the Kazan Sir Magid, that he was by the Seder one year. And he said, Uvamora Gadol, he used to sit by some Tzaddikim, they would sit with a talis by the Seder. They would have, you know, their head covered with talis. So I think it was Kazan Sir Magid, although I'll have to check. And he's sitting there and he says, he's reading about Gadol, and he says, Uvamora Gadol, Zegi Leshchina. And the Tzaddik removed the talis from his head, and they said his face was literally shining with the light of the Shechina. So much so that there was a person who was in the room at the time, who later became a doctor, who was by the Kodesh Tamagat Seder, and he said he was able to become, an expert, and he had an expertise in the structure of the skull, and the makeup of the brain, because at the moment the Kodesh Tamagat removed his talus from his head by that Seder, he said his face was so filled with light he could see all the dimensions. He was able to see Mamash like right through. He became angelic in that moment. So this doctor said, I gained tremendous wisdom in the makeup of the inner world of the physical inner world of a person at that moment of Gilui Shechina. It was possible. It's possible for a person to be before Hashem. So let's just learn a little piece from the present Slonim Rebbe, the Darchei Noam. Is from the two-volume set, Darchei Noam and Avodas Hashem. It's the very first piece. We'll just read quickly. And part of the reason I wanted to do it also is because I know it's only the 13th day of the Omer, but before you know it, Rabbi Shimon's coming to town. Yeah, Lag BaOmer is right around the corner. So we need to make ourselves, we have to start getting ourselves ready. Amar Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Re'isi B'nei Aliyah, Ve'ein Mu'atim. I have seen amongst the B'nei Aliyah, people who are elevated, and they are few. There are a few people who have an elevated outlook on life. We say every Shabbos in Yikom Porkon, we daven as part of the tefillah on behalf of the Reish Chalusa. Not that we have Reish Chalusa in our world today, but we still say the tefillah. We daven in Yikom Porkon. We say we want a lot of things. We want Siyata Deshmaya. We want various Gufa. In Yikom Porkon, we say we want Nehora Ma'alya. What does Nehora Ma'alya mean? Say it every Shabbos. Elevated vision. Elevated vision. Nehora Ma'alya. To be able to see in an elevated way. That's what the P.S. Esther is talking about. Nehora Ma'alya. having a broader perspective on ourselves and HaKadosh Baruch Hu and our neshama and reality. So take a look. I'm Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. We'll go quickly. Re'isi b'nei aliyah v'ein mu'atin. There are very few people, says Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who are true b'nei aliyah, who are people who have this, you know, bird's eye view of reality. Hamusak b'nei aliyah, what does it mean, this concept b'nei aliyah? Perhaps can be explained based on a piece of Rabbi Shimon himself in the Zohar Kadosh. Yesh lefarsha al pi dir Rabbi Shimon Atzma b'Zohar Kadosh parsha shlach. Take a look, for the sake of time, take a look at the footnote. We'll read it in Lashon HaKodesh because it's hard to read it in the language of the Zohar. Amar Rabbi Shimon, it's Beis. Amar Rabbi Shimon. Mi parsha zu lamati sod ha-chachma. From the parsha of the Meraglim, I understood a deep spiritual matter. V'nishra imena sotas al yonum v'yakarim. And I uncovered great secrets. Bo'u re'ei. HaKadosh Baruch Hu mishtabeach b'Torah. V'omer. Lichu b'darki. Or b'drachai. V'isku b'avodasi. Study my ways. Study my Torah. V'ani aviaschem lo'olamos tovim. And I'll bring you to good worlds. Study Torah and you will come to good worlds. Lo'olamos elyonim. To elevated worlds. Anashim she'enim yodim. Those who don't know, don't believe, and don't see. They don't even look. They don't even look up during Kedusha. Because they don't know. Now you know, and you have to decide if you're going to do it. And you'll start to believe. And maybe you'll be zochet to see. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omer Lechu V'sasur Es HaOlam HaTov HaHu. Try to see the good world. Or the goodness of this world, which we'll talk about tomorrow in the next piece in Savazir's. Ha'olam elyon, ha'hu shel kisufin. Try to see the world above the world, the world of longing and desire. That's where Rabbi Shimon says, look how the Meraglim were able to look at Eretz Yisrael, the Eretz Achaim, and to see it in such a terrible way. And look how a person could try to look beyond this world to olamos that are nothing other than beautiful. But you have to have a heavenly outlook. You have to be a b'nei aliyah. You have to have the Horah Ma'aliyah. You have to have elevated vision. You have to be a person who knows what you're looking for. Chodesh Iyar, Haba Aleinu L'Tova, every month we know has the name of Hashem that corresponds to the month. The name of Hashem for the month of Iyar is Yud Hey Hey Vav. The Pasuk in Navi says, Yishalel HaMishalel Haskel Vidoa. Don't take pride, says the Navi, in your strength, or your wisdom, or your wealth. Yishalel ha-mishalel, you know what you should praise yourself for? Yishalel ha-mishalel, haskel v'yodoh osi. You should be zocha to know me, Hashem says. Haskel, to have seichel, to know me, then yishalel ha-mishalel, then you'll be praised. Yishalel ha-mishalel, haskel v'yodoh, yud hei hei vav, Rashi Tevos. Yishalel ha-mishalel, haskel v'yodoh. Is the name of Hashem for the month of Iyar. Because Iyar is the time where we work of climbing that ladder, the Emes. That's what Sfiras Omer is about. To come to perception of Hashem. To be able to go outside on Shavuos, like Tzaddikim would do, and to see the sky open up. And to be able to point Zek Keli Vanveyu. Tzaddikim are not jokesters who do things because they're like pretending. Tzaddikim are seeing things that our eyes can't see. Because we're not B'nai Aliyah. Because we don't have Nahor Ma'aliyah. Because we're not even sure what we're looking for. But that's what we're working on. That's what we're working on. Says the Darchei Noam. Go to the end of the first column. He says, in the middle of the column, after the quote from the Zohar. Divrei HaZohar HaKadosh Matzivin Lifnei Adam Es Metzias HaChayim Kolashon Chazal Bachor Sona Einech Urei Ma Ata Borer Lecha. He says, these words of the Zohar are reminiscent of the Gemara in Tanis, where we say to a person, Bachar, young man, lift up your eyes and see what you can choose. What do you want this world to be? You have to ask yourself that question once in a while. In this world, in a physical reality, it's not one world, it's two worlds. Do you see the physical world or do you see the spiritual world? What do you choose to see? Yesh olam chashuch umar le'elu hashakuim b'chay olam hazav evelov. There are those who are drowning in the physical reality, who are so caught up on what their physical eyes see that they don't even know that there's another world. Shu olam shel tohu le'elu shachayim chay tohu. It's a world of darkness for those who are living a dark existence. Umineged yesh chayim b'flayim. But there's also another option you could choose if you have Nahor Ma'aliyah, if you have elevated vision. If you join Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's small group of what? Of Bnei Aliyah. And that is what? Yesh Chayim Muflaim Shal Olamecha, second column, Tira Bechayecha. What the Gemara in Brachos calls in Daf Yud Zayin, one of the most beautiful phrases in Shas. Olamecha Tira Bechayecha. You don't have to wait till you get to Olam Haba to get to Olam Haba. Olamecha Tira Bechayecha. See your world in your lifetime. See the hidden world in your lifetime. See Olam Haba in your lifetime. Tzaddikim don't allow this world to stop them from getting to the next world. You know the famous Maisa, Mashiach, right? Someone once on Arab Shabbos was screaming outside, "He's here, he's here! He's here, he's here!" So some say it from the Rishner, some say it from Menachem Mendel Vitebsk. So the Tzaddik was always thinking about Mashiach. So he wanted to see if Mashiach's really here. So he went out, he opened his window. He's here, right? It happens to be someone outside was saying that the Shabbos guest had arrived. But the Tzaddik heard, "He's here, he's here!" He thought, "Mashiach!" So he opens the window, sticks his head out the window, takes a breath. "Nah, he's not here." So the Tzaddikim explained, later to the Baba Rebbe and others explained, why do you have to stick his head out the window? To smell the world, to smell if Mashiach was here. He says, because in the Tzaddik's inner room, it's already Mashiach. In the Tzaddik's room, it's already Geula. So he wants to see outside, has Mashiach been revealed to everyone? Nah, it's not here yet. But by the Dalai Lama's and the Tzaddik, Olamecha Tira Bechayecha. He sees, he's living a redeemed existence before redemption comes. B'soch Messias Ha'olam Hazeh Yochel Ish Yehudi Lalos Ulevo La'alma Tova Alma Ilah D'Chisufa. From within this world, a person can be above this world. Olam Sheko Kulo Tshuka V'Kisufan Ilayim. A world that's what? A world that's filled with longing and desire. You have to be willing to look up instead of looking down at your cell phone all day. I just want to go on record now. If anyone's in Teaneck or Bergenfeld this Shabbos, you're invited for Shachris. I plan on giving an angry drasha this Shabbos. An angry drasha. Anger is a terrible midah. I know it is, but I'm giving an angry drasha this Shabbos. Everyone's invited. But anger is one of the midos that takes away your neshama. I don't care. Mesiras nefesh. Like it says in Rav Kook's biography. Mesiras nefesh doesn't just mean Mesiras haguf, dying, getting burnt at the stake. Mesiras nefesh making spiritual sacrifice. So I know it's very bad to be angry, but I plan on being angry. I'm angry right now, and I plan on being angry on Shabbos. But anger is a bad meat, though. What do you tell? You have a whole week to not be angry. I'm going to be angry on Shabbos, I'm telling you now.
Cell phone drasha?
There's no phones in Shabbos.
Because there's an alma d'chisufa that's waiting for us. There's an alma d'chisufa that's waiting for us. So when are we gonna stop already? When are we gonna choose this world? I'm telling you, Glicks, you coming?
No, I'm gonna be in the Bronx.
Olam shekol aruchos aros shel hevli olam hazeh einan chodros ilam. Lo erzeh yesh lefarish masha amar bishum bayochai. Rabbi Shimon, the Bali Lula. We have only a couple weeks to Rabbi Shimon's wedding. No. It's a big wedding. For big weddings, you spend a lot of time getting ready. We should get ourselves ready. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, please join my small group of Bnei Aliyah. Please don't be the person who's on his cell phone the entire Chazar Sashas. Please don't be that person. Because if you choose that now when you're 18, it's going to stick with you forever. Please don't be that person. Just decide, I am the person who never goes on his cell phone during Chazar Sashas. Choose that. Make a decision right now. Maybe, like, not right now, like in general right now, like later today you'll think of it. No, maybe make a decision right this second that for the rest of my life I'm choosing to be a guy who does not go on his cell phone during Chazaras Hashas unless my wife is 9 months pregnant and I'm expecting a phone call. Why can't we make that choice? Some of us can't say with Belief Shalim right now, I can do it. That's sad. A lot of people can't. Rabbi Shimon said most people can't. But join the group. Join Rabbi Shimon's group. Bottom left-hand corner. We have 3 minutes left. Sefer HaZohar HaKadosh Atzmo Kol Kulo Mitchilaso Ad Sofo. What's the whole Zohar about? The whole Zohar is giving us perspective. Rabbi Shimon is opening our eyes. Hu Kein Zohar VeEshnov. Anyone know what an Eshnov is? An Eshnov is a hatch. A little window. Rabbi Shimon gave us a little window called the Zohar HaKadosh. La'osa Olam Mufla Shal B'nei Aliyah Shal Kula Or. Into that world of entire that's entirely filled with light. You can still be normal. Right? Just because you check ESPN.com doesn't mean you have to check ESPN.com during Shmona Esrei. You can still care. Okay, good. So you like, you know, you're still normal. You don't have to be a PSS the Rebbe. It's not like you have to choose PSS the Rebbe or like guy who thinks it's totally normal to be on your phone like all the entire davening. You don't have to. It's not either or like that. You could say I go on ESPN.com because I like sports. Maybe one day I'll grow that desire and realize there's bigger things. Okay. Right? But I'm also choosing on some level. I want to be a B'nai Aliyah. I want to be part of the B'nai Aliyah. I want to be part of this group. The Zohar gives us a window into that world that's kula or. And I want to get a little bit of light in my life. Ma'amari HaZohar Kadosh B'tziref Kol Ha'avayi. The stories of the Zohar, all the happenings of the Zohar, Ketzad Hayu B'nai HaChavraya Mizvadim, the way that the Zohar describes how the Chavraya Kadisha, Rabbi Shimon's Chaverim would get together and learn. Giluyim Shalahem. All the things that are happening in the Zohar Kadosh, it's all a different world that's taking place in this world. These were human beings who walked planet Earth but chose to live differently. Mikol Daf and Mikol Pina Bazar Olim Reichen Bosman. The sweet smell of Mashiach emanates from the pages of the Zohar. Umaras Elokim Mechayim Espenei Aliyah, turn to the second side. Baal Matava Alma Iladich Yisufa. Again, that world that Rishon was describing, Parsha Shlach. That world of longing, that world of a beautiful world. Go to Os Beis. And with this we conclude. Chay Alma Ilah Shonamim Lagar Mechay Olam Haza. The bottom line is, however, there's two very different worlds. And you can choose to live in which one you want to choose to live in. B'nai Aliyah chayim ba'olam acher. If you join Rabbi Shimon's B'nai Aliyah, it's a different life. It is a different life. You meet a tzaddik, you meet a person, you catch a glimpse of an elevated person, and you know in 1 second that their life is qualitatively different than yours. So why don't you choose it? They're flesh and blood just like you. They eat food, they go to the bathroom. They sleep, they do human things. So choose that. Why can't you be that? B'nai Aliyah chayim ba'olam acher. B'nai Aliyah lives in a different world. They're breathing different air, which changes their very mahus, their very essence. A person who lives, again, in that inner world, versus the person who lives in a physical house. It's not just a question of good versus better. It's a question of completely different living. It's not this way to live is good and this way to live is better. It's this way to live is one way, this way to live is an entirely different way. It's qualitatively entirely different. You can't begin to compare it. It's not of the same caliber on any level. Like the tzaddikim explain, the Gemara in Shabbos, if the Rishonim are like malachim, then we're like people. If the Rishonim are people, then we're like chamorim, like donkeys. B'divrayim eilu bo chazal lamdinu. Ki mahusam shel Rishonim shona lagamim mahus shel achronim. The earlier generations, it's a different thing. If their angels were people, angels and people are not the same thing. People and animals are not the same thing. So what Chazal are telling us is that depending on what world you choose to live in, it's a different world. It's an entirely different way of viewing reality. These are the choices that a person has to make. Okay, I think I've said enough for one day. I think you've heard enough for one day. Amir Sashem, in the month of Iyar, Habalein Tova. It's a zman of looking deeper. It's a zman of perceiving deeper. It's a zman of getting to know HaKadosh Baruch. It's a zman where the action for the month is here or thinking. Think about these things. Think about it for real. And try to make it real. Try to see these things. Yeah, try to make it your reality. Hasil v'yadoh see to really know Hashem. To really experience once in your life maybe what the Ram is describing in Ochel Shuvah, to be lovesick for Hashem. To be so in awe of Hashem that you feel like you can't even talk. Not that you're doing Hashem a favor when you come to Davin. To look up during Kedusha. And to feel like Hashem is looking back at you, and to feel His eyes upon you. Nope, halavai. Halavai, we should be zochet to achieve such things in this world. Shkoyach.